Welcome to the Interviews Podcast. Welcome, Interisti, to episode 121 of the Interviews Podcast, the official podcast of SempreInter.com. We are here for the post-match reaction of Sparta Prague versus Inter, which finished 1-0 to the visitors, a solitary goal, a spectacular goal from Lautaro Martinez in the 12th minute. As always, I am one half of your co-hosting duo, Alessandro Raffa, joined here by Gianni Paterno. Gianni, what do you want to talk about? A stir definitely got kicked up on social media today that we should get into, but how do you want to kick this thing off?
You stir kicked up on social media. I was fine. I had no dust-ups, no interactions. I actually got to enjoy watching the game today with somebody pretty high up the food chain in I don't know, what do you want to call it? National team lore, Serie A lore. It was refreshing for sure for me. So maybe I got to enjoy it by not having to be on social media as much, but I guess we could jump right into what's got you all worked. I mean, holy cow. This is back-to-back episodes where Alessandro is worked up?
I'm not that worked up. I think it may be...
You seemed a little worked up.
I really wasn't. I think it's social media maybe makes it seem like that. When you texted me like, yo, calm down, I'm like, what are you talking about? Like, what's going on? But apparently it's hot. It's really not hot for me. I had a back and forth today with both Tony Mitch and Nima, who I love both of them. We're tweeting back and forth at each other about this results versus performance debate that's going on, which I think is a super fair debate to be had. I don't think like anyone's wrong. Like, you know, Nima had some points today I'll get into in a second here. Like, I feel a certain way about it, especially I explained in the two episodes ago, right? Just the kind of challenge that we're up against and how well I feel we're doing with that, and how I guess it's my desire. What I would rather see on Inter Twitter is more just positive conversation about these results that we've been able to pull in, which are undeniably great results. But then there's also frustration with the performances, and everyone is good and cool to tweet and feel how they do about Inter after these performances. And I also think it's fine to, you know, on Twitter, like say if you disagree with that stuff. So, nothing against anyone. I'm not heated. I wasn't heated. Nima, rude to me, dude. I don't know what you're doing. The Sempre Inter and an Interviews Pod relationship almost up in flames today, but no, it's all good. So
that's on you, dude.
Let's talk about it. Where what side of the fence are you sitting on with the results versus these performances? Because I think it's okay to say performance wise, there have been less stellar matches and complete performances out of Inter this season than what we saw last season. The results have been, you know, pretty much on par, with a couple extra games thrown in there. But yeah, what's your state as far as this little back and forth is concerned?
I mean, I hate to break it to you, but I kind of understand where Nima and Tony are coming from. You know, I listen. The results
Which
are great.
I'm never going to be on. You're not breaking anything to me. No one's mad. We're just talking about it. For fuck's sake.
I'm just not a fan with the performances. You know, I expected them to come out, and we talked about it last episode with Nick. 3-0. We were hoping for by halftime. And that way you could pull all these guys out and rest them for the next game. And maybe even give them the Lecce game off if you're able to, you know, to get enough a result out of that. But a little worrisome at times. I thought that, you know, we gave Prague or Sparta, whatever you, however you want to refer to them, a few opportunities to be able to equalize there. There was one chance where Sommer made a fantastic save. I don't know what
the first,
I believe
the first half save.
Yeah, I don't remember. It might have been De Vrij, possibly. I don't remember now who it was that allowed that player to get, I mean, be left alone really in the 6 yard, in the, no, sorry, the 18. And pretty much get a free shot on goal. I don't know who that was, but that was a little concerning. And it felt like we just didn't want to finish any chances or really, you know, step on the gas. And I did agree with something you said that, hey, like, you know, we did kind of coast. We never really took it out of neutral kind of thing, which, yeah, that's great. We didn't overexert ourselves. But you also kind of would have hoped that you would have been able to score more. You are head and shoulders above them in terms of talent. And I just was hoping for a better outcome. Obviously, the result is fantastic. You want 3 points, whether you win by one or seven. You know, it doesn't really make a difference. Although we would be ahead of Arsenal had we won by more points or more goals, I should say. But you know, it is what it is. I'll take the 3 points and move. I just hope that, you know, against Lecce, we put it, you know, the game to bed in the first, you know, 30 minutes, and not let it linger, because Lecce could be a team that burns you.
So what do you think the biggest reason, and I agree, I thought today's performance, I'm not as down on it as maybe some other folks are, because I felt super in control. Like, I don't remember a point outside of that save that Sommer made in the first half, and maybe at the very end with Augusto's clearance, I didn't really feel threatened. I felt like I was watching a team who Sparta needed points today in order to like continue their European journey, and they didn't really play like it. And I thought it was kind of like you're playing, you know how you play a shit team, and I think this is like story of Inter, at least for as long as I've been watching, where they definitely play down to their opponent. I felt like, you know, just like you said, it was they never kicked out of first gear, and it was just control the game, you know, get the result by any means necessary and get out of there without exerting too much energy, which is what they did. But it was ugly. It wasn't an awe-inspiring performance. There's been a lot of games that were not awe-inspiring recently. If you look at the games, the last, you know, three games, right? Sparta didn't really come to play against us, and it looked like shit. Empoli, you know, that entire first 45, they were 11 men behind the ball and didn't really come to play. And it didn't look good. The only game where like Inter looked like they were pulling out some crisp actions the same way that we saw out of this team last year was Bologna. And Bologna came to play us. I mean, they attacked us. There was space available and we looked much better. But obviously the result there, the performance was better. The result was ass. And in these last couple of games, the results were there. The performances were ass. So, yeah, I guess my question to you is just what would you put this inability to look like a dominant side, the kind of dominant side that the results say that we are this year? Why is it not translating to performances against these smaller teams? What do you think is the biggest reason?
I mean, it could be, you know, a congested fixture list. It could be fatigue all around. It could be maybe lack of rotation. And I mean, like, heavy rotation. It's one, you know, changing one or two guys out from here to there. That's, you know, one thing. But if you're able to do, you know, multiple, you know, 5, 6, 7 to be able to give guys a rest and for those guys to take advantage of their opportunities, you know, maybe it'd be different, but I think there is just a lot of fatigue all around. You know, Mkhitaryan just turned 36. We see what's happened with Acerbi and his body, you know, kind of failing him. You know, this is the oldest squad in Serie A. It's bound to happen, unfortunately, and I just wish there was a way that we could address this, whether it be, you know, bringing in a signing or a two in the transfer market, which doesn't seem feasible because we just don't have the money, which, you know, not to be critical of Martino Puccio, but you know, he was talking about today, Milan, you know, can't get these deals across the finish line. We're so broke. I'm like, yeah. And all I commented was, Inter says hello. You know, like you want to talk about not spending money. Inter isn't able to spend money. And which is kind of, it makes it hard to be able to rejuvenate your squad, because, you know, you're going to have tired legs. You're going to have, you know, when you're playing 2-3 games a week sometimes, and you're playing, let's say 60-70 minutes at least, if you're a regular starter at this club, it's bound to catch up with you. It's a long season. We're only halfway through in reality. And it's only going to get longer, especially now with the Club World Cup as well. So I wonder if anything is going to be able to be done, and hopefully, you know, we're able to figure some things out and put these games away. Because last year we had that killer instinct where we were able to not only step on their throat, but crush them. And I don't know if it's because of Zielinski and Taremi not really blending in properly. You know, I don't know. It's I think we had higher expectations based on the guys that were brought in. And we had hoped that certain players who have been here, whether it's Fratesi, Aslani, I mean, Bisek has done well, and so has Augusto. But you were hoping some of these guys would take a massive step forward within the club, and just hasn't been the case, unfortunately.
I really think the biggest difference between this year and last year is the amount of rotation that is going on. And it's not, that's not an excuse like some people may take it. It's just pointing out the difference. Like, there was much more continuity to the starting lineup last year, and it showed. You know, the displays were much crisper, they were much better. This year, with the fixture list, Inzaghi has really leaned in to the fact that he has a team, you know, a full squad of 25 players, and he's using pretty much all these guys outside of Palacios and Tejan and Correa for Ben Arnautovic, I guess.
Keep throwing them on there.
Everyone else is being used. Everyone else is being used if they're fit. And I think that's what I would say is the main reason why it hasn't looked super great on the pitch. The results are great, but the performances aren't great, which I agree with. I agree with. Do you enjoy watching Inter right now?
That's a great question. I don't know if I do right now. I think it's pretty stressful at times, and I can't really, although today was fun in the sense of you know, I mean, you know what, I'll just say it out. You know, I guess I could tell people, right? It's not a big deal. It's not a secret. Antonio Nocerino is the new manager at the club that I get to work for. And I got to sit and watch the game with him. And I mean, the insight and just being able to, you know, to hear his thoughts, who the players are that he likes, you know, who stands out to him at this current Inter, who he considers our best player this season. It's really cool. He has a relationship with Simone, and you know, having talked to him, he got to tell me some things, which I thought was pretty interesting, and I got to enjoy it today. But in terms of games, you know, recently, I feel like I've been a little stressed out. Even when we have a lead, I'm still kind of worried. Like, are we going to collapse? Are we going to allow a late equalizer? Are we going to allow, you know, them to even, you know, go ahead and steal the game? And it's not that I think our team is bad. I do think we have moments, though, where we aren't totally focused. You know, I'm not, like, angry at this season or think, oh, my gosh, what a letdown. But there have been times where, you know, they just – the killer instinct isn't there to either see the game out or kill them off or whatever it is, and then we just get caught slipping or napping or whatever you want to call it, and then, boom, equalizer, or boom, you know, game winner in the 80s. I mean, if you look, I think, if I'm not mistaken, every game we've lost, league and Champions League, has been in the 88th minute or later.
Yeah, there's two statistics there. The first is the late goals thing, where we've been giving up way more late goals than last season. The second thing is we haven't been coming back from losing positions. That's not been what this team is. So it dovetails perfectly with what you're saying as far as what you're seeing from the team this year.
Yeah, and you know, it's something that I am frustrated with in some aspects. I don't know if I would put the blame on Inzaghi. I mean, I know some people do. I see it on Twitter, like, oh, he just doesn't have the guys ready. Or I see them say, like, oh, this team just isn't as good as they were last year, which I don't know if I agree with that. I think talent-wise, it's better than last year. But and maybe, you know, maybe, yeah, it is. In terms of performances, I think I would agree with that in some aspects. But I think we're trying to focus, you know, on competing on every front this year. Not just, you know, Scudetto or bust. I think this year we are a little more motivated to have a deeper run than we did last season in the Champions League. Which hopefully, you know, we're able to do. I think that, you know, even though the Supercopa didn't play out the way we want, it seems that we're somewhat taking the Coppa Italia seriously. And you know, I'm hoping that, you know, the goalkeeper that apparently every news outlet in Serie A is, or in Italy is ready to write off, and Josep Martinez is able to take that tournament and really cement himself as a starter. Yeah, we'll see. We'll see if these guys are able to keep that motivation going to be able to finish out this season, because I would much rather get, you know, the 21st Scudetto and, you know, maybe a semifinal appearance in the Champions League would be fantastic. I don't know if you heard, though, it was nice to hear Jamie Carragher giving Inter some props after the game.
He's back. He's on.
He's very much
can't pronounce the club, but he's on us.
Yeah, Internazionale. It's nice to hear, you know, that he thinks that we are the strongest team and that he thinks that we'll go very far in this. I haven't heard any English pundit ever speak highly of us, so that I'll give him some respect where it's due. Whether he really has an understanding of the style we play, that's one thing that I'm not too aware of. But I'm glad he's on board with what we're able to do in Inzaghi's tactics.
Yeah, I'm not super enjoying the way that we're playing right now, like a lot of Interisti feel. This game wasn't great. Empoli wasn't great. The second half against Bologna sucked. The first half I had a lot of fun watching. It felt like we were, you know, the team of last year. The Venezia game wasn't particularly enjoyable. We lost to Milan in what was an epic game, but it's not enjoyable to suffer a 93rd, 94th minute loss. The 2-0 against Atalanta, I enjoyed it, even if, you know, Atalanta's B team, when it was really just their forwards. So it's been a little bit uneven. Results wise it's been fine, but performance wise it's been uneven. I think the next real question here is, I think it's a strength of a team to be able to continue to grind out results even though you're not at your best. But the thing that I really want to know from you is, like, do you think, I think one of the things that Tony said was, you know, eventually it's going to catch up to us. Nima said the same thing. So, like, what do you foresee for this team in the future? Do you think this is just a down period, which we typically suffer in the winter months, and then we're going to kick it into gear and be the team that we thought, you know, we had coming into the season? Or do you expect more of the same, just up and down performances but continuing to grind out results?
Tough to say for sure. I do worry that it could wind up to catch us. You know, as much as I like to troll, you know, Napoli fans and Napoli as a club, they only have to worry about this title race. That's really it. They continue to grind out results, even when they don't play at their best. For whatever reason, teams like to play at their worst against them. I think Atalanta really, you know,
shit the bed.
Yeah, exactly. Because I saw, like, really two glaring defensive mistakes in that game that led to goals for Napoli. And if they continue to, you know, do this, and even though they sold, you know, Guevara, now there's rumors of Garnacho, who I'm not a fan of, but if Conte is signing off on it, maybe he sees something that you and I don't see, and probably the rest of European football fans. So I do worry that, you know, we're not going to be able to stay in. Oh, not stay in. It will stay in the race, of course, But it, because we're having this, you know, up and down type of playing with your emotions, you know, season so far, is it going to be, you know, something where we rattle off three straight losses or we drop points in three straight games, maybe not three straight losses, and then we allow Napoli to increase their lead on us? I don't know. I hope that, yeah, like you said, that this is just a winter blues for us and that, you know, we'll come out of it come, you know, mid-February like we sometimes typically do. But if we do that, are we going to be, you know, 6-7 points out of the lead at that point? And is it going to be an overwhelming mountain to climb out of? I don't know. I hope not. I do see that the squad has obviously the talent to be able to compete and get, you know, maximum points from all their games. So it really just going to come down to, you know, is Lautaro going to stay hot for us in this time? Is he going to be able to keep scoring the way he has been? You know, 5 goals in 7 games. Awesome. I can't complain really with that. And hopefully he can keep going. Hopefully Thuram can continue to chip in. Although it seems like he's slowed down a little, which it sucks. Like, you know, Thuram is hot, Lauti's cold. Lauti's on fire. Thuram, I mean, he's scored. I'm not saying he hasn't, but it's not at the clip that he was doing, you know, 2 goals a game here, you know. So hopefully we can get all our horses running in the same direction. And then next thing you know, we're able to get points. And what's going to be really telling is how we do against Napoli. You know, we really, ourselves and Conte both played just for a draw. No one was really going for the win. Although you could argue that we should have won because, you know, Hakan missed the penalty and whatnot. But after that, it was
also
like,
missed a great chance at the end of that game. So it could have went either way. Even with the Hakan penalty, they could have snatched.
Yeah, they could have snatched an equalizer there at the end as well, which I would have said was really undeserving because it felt like they played more scared than we did. But that return fixture, especially it being in Napoli, is going to be huge. And if we could get a 6-point swing there, I'll feel fantastic, really. So
I think there's two. I have confidence that we'll be able to turn this thing around performance-wise and kick back into gear if two things occur. One, Lauti is, in this second half of the season, he's what he was in the first half of last season, where he was just unplayable. That's one. And then two, if Hakan is healthy, I think this team plays much better. They just do. He's just extremely crucial. So if he can get over this nagging injury bug that he's been dealing with and stay on the pitch consistently, then, you know, then I have faith that we'll be able to turn it around. All right, last thing just about this performances and results thing before we get into a little bit about the game. There's not a lot to talk about this game, but we'll talk a little bit about it. Do the performances matter at the end of the day if we take home the Scudetto or the Champions League, one of these two trophies, but we played kind of the way that we're playing right now, but, you know, again, ground out the results? Would it matter to you?
You know, just thinking about it, and it just popped in my head now, it's kind of funny that you and Nemo were kind of going about back and forth about this, because I think about the way he talks about Allegri and how he doesn't really. Oh, you did? I didn't read the whole thread. So that's funny that you did say that. Okay. Yeah, because it's like you get the results and you don't care how ugly it is and, you know, Cortomuso and all that stuff. You get all excited about that. But now this. So it is kind of a catch-22, because at one side, I do care about the results. I really should. I say I don't care at times. I don't care how we get the 3 points. I want 3 points. But then other times I do catch myself wanting to see champagne football. And we've seen it with this squad. It's not like it's impossible for it to happen. So it's like I'm in a tough, you know, situation. I don't know what to think.
Would you accept a Cortomuso title?
And I think if I really sat down and thought about it and stopped being a prisoner of the moment in the sense that I want beautiful football, I will take a Cortomuso title. I will. I'll come out and say it. If you told me we would win, you know, let's say 36 games and have two draws, and every game was either a 1-0 win or a 1-1 draw or a 0-0 draw, whatever, I'd be like, okay, I'll take it. I'll take it. I'm not going to complain, you know. So, yeah, it's – I do wish the performances would match the results. But if at the end of the day we're just getting the results, I really shouldn't complain. I shouldn't. I probably will. I'll be honest. I probably will in some matches. I'm not going to sit here and pretend I won't. But, you know, for the same things I make fun of Juventini for criticizing Allegri, I guess I'd be hypocritical if I'm not, you know, recognizing that in myself as well.
The reality is that no Interista is going to be upset about a Corto Musso title. The title is what matters the most. The
you don't thing think there's one guy out there who's upset about it?
What would be a problem is that we would have to reckon with what we shat on Juventini for the duration of Juve's title challenge up until it ended last season, where it was like, yeah, you guys are keeping pace, but you look fucking terrible. We would have to accept that that's who we are, which is going to be hard for a lot of people to do. But for number 21, I'll take it. For number 21, I'll take it. And then it will come full circle and we will all be Allegri disciples, I guess. But hopefully it doesn't come to that. And this team can turn around. All right. As far as this game is concerned, do you have a player of the match, a player that actually stood out and had a complete performance?
I'd probably lean Bastoni.
I was going to say the same, yeah.
Too bad. You know, I would have said, and I don't know if you saw the tweet, and Huyan, you might want to look. You didn't like the tweet. I'm a little upset. But I gave your boy a shout-out. And you might want to look through my tweets. I'm not going to say which tweet it is, but you'll see it for your boy. And I aside from the flop that he did in the first half, I was actually very pleased with Denzel Dumfries as well.
Was that a booking?
Yeah, dude. That was a massive like flop, dude. Come on. Now, you know what, though? The only thing that we see flops like that don't get called. So that's why I'm upset.
I don't know if
I would call it in that moment, but I think that more guys should be carded for simulation. That much I do think.
Okay.
But I don't think, yeah, in that 5 minutes in, I think was a little ridiculous.
Yeah. I would say Bastoni gets plus marks for today. Lautaro obviously scored a really amazing goal. People were saying Bastoni overhit the pass to him, but I thought it was he put it where only Lauti could have gotten to it.
Exactly.
So yeah,
exactly.
I liked that. Underachievers, underperformers. I think Pavard continues his streak of not looking too great back there. He's not having himself a good season.
And what about that other kid? The one who's been a topic of conversation for a while now.
Which kid?
The midfielder. The Albanian.
Barella? Oh, Aslani.
What do you think?
Unimpressive.
I felt the same way. I didn't tweet about him on purpose because I didn't want all of his, you know, disciples to come after me. But another game, I'm not impressed with anything.
If he's not hitting those like switches and those 40-yard passes, then I don't really know what he's doing.
Me neither. And boy, I didn't have a good game either. I could be unbiased. I recognize when guys don't play well. I mean, although it's a little harder for me with him because he's my favorite player, but he did not look great. Especially that miss in the first half. Like, my gosh, like, you got to put that in net. I don't care if you don't. Well, I do care if you don't score, because I think you should score in that position. But to not even put it on net, that's kind of disappointing. Yeah, DiMarco didn't have a great game either. I don't know if he was just kind of going through the motions himself and you know, hoping to preserve energy and we get a lucky goal, a second goal or something that he doesn't have to worry about. But yeah, not the best. Augusto was great. You know, I would give him some props, some shout outs. I think he was very solid defensively at the very least. I don't know about you. I liked what I saw from Zielinski. I thought that he was still, you know, pushing the tempo and trying to
super lively.
Yeah, and I thought he was trying to break the lines with his passing, which I would want him to do because that's I know he's got that ability. I think Mickey played a good game for the most part too. You know, I can't really hate on him. I didn't like late in the second half when he laid it off and just put it way too far in front of Thuram. Like, yeah. I think that you have to be better in that situation. But other than that, I really can't have any other complaints with his game.
90 minutes too, which I think is important.
Yeah, which I think means he's not playing the next game. I think it's Zielinski from minute one for the Lecce game. I would think, you know, maybe you don't want to run him into the ground again. But yeah, that's it.
What did you think of Fratesi's cameo?
Can I be honest? I don't even remember anything that he was involved in. Did he do anything?
The one like really good action I think was that shot that he took from outside the box that got palmed over.
Yeah. Okay. I forgot about that. Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't really remember anything else that he honestly did. I don't even think I'd be surprised if you told me he got more than 10 touches.
Someone pointed this out, which didn't feel like it, but it's true. He was 9 for 9 on his pass attempts, and he came in the 63rd minute. Zielinski came in 10 minutes later and had 33 touches. So, like, just way more involved. Way more involved with 10 less minutes on the pitch, which I thought was like the microcosm.
That is crazy. I'm ready for you know, Sucic and Paz to come immediately.
It would be nice. It would be nice, and we'll talk about the transfer market in a little bit here. Taremi, nothing. What did you think of Thuram today?
Yeah, he didn't seem himself either. You know, I thought that he was a little disappointing.
Selfish.
Yeah. That's. I think that I would make that. Yeah, that for sure. I thought he was a little selfish at times. But I also think I'm actually kind of okay with it to an extent because you want him to be clicking at the same time as Lauti. So like, if he's just laying it off for Lauti or trying to force feed it to him, then you know, is he just going to lose confidence himself at some point? I don't know. Although he was very confident against Empoli, so with that, you know, chance that he took. So, I could call him selfish, but I can't hate that he was, if that makes sense.
Yeah. I don't know that there's much else to talk about, to be honest. Really impressed with Lauti's finish and Bastoni's pass on the goal. I didn't think Sparta created much of anything. It was a shit game. I get the criticism afterwards. I understand it. I'm sorry if anyone felt like I was going too hard at them. I apologize. I think
you should write handwritten letters to, you know, Tony and Nima. That's the only way we can get through this.
I already did.
Oh,
okay. I already did. They're in the mail. Yeah,
Priority mail.
Yeah, I'm just having Huion stamp them, and then we'll be good to go. All right, let's get into this Q&A here. At LeeTheo1, who would you lot trust to take a penalty if it happened in the second half? Lauti used to take him, and he wasn't at his best. I would go for DiMarco. So who was on the pitch in the second half?
Are we saying the start of the second half?
I guess while Lauti was still on the pitch, so before the 82nd minute, which would have been Bastoni, De Vrij, Pavard, Augusto, Mickey, Zielinski, Fratesi, Darmian, Thuram.
Yeah, if Zielinski's on the pitch, I think he's the one taking it.
Agree.
If he's not, Minchia. I don't know. Do I go DiMarco? Yeah, I guess so.
If Taremi's on the pitch, it would be Zielinski, Taremi.
Yeah, in that order.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah,
I would. I would still pick Zielinski over everybody, though. Like on the who's there? You know, obviously Hakan's Hakan. Like if we went to penalties, right? And I got to pick the five shooters, I'm probably going Hakan, Zielinski, Taremi, DiMarco, and left field pick. I might go Bastoni.
Bastoni over Barella.
Yeah, I think so. I honestly would be a little nervous with Barella.
Would you trust Aslani to take a penalty kick?
Not a chance in hell.
He is the set piece specialist cool. When he's on the pitch.
For who?
Not Inter. Would you let Sommer take a penalty over Aslani?
Life on the line, yeah.
Jesus Christ. No faith. The Albanians come for our podcast.
They're coming for me. I'm dead. You know, they say I have a lot of hate in my heart. It's not hate. I don't hate him. I don't hate anyone at this club. I'm just ready to move on from certain players, and I don't think, you know, they're inter-quality, unfortunately. And again, I'm not rooting for him to fail. I'm not. But I don't see any improvements.
Yeah.
3 years, man. Like,
I agree. All right, at a person 1352, just saw that Toro became our joint highest top scorer in the UCL, which he's joint tied with Adriano for 14 goals. Is that more of an impressive accomplishment by him or just an indictment of how historically poor Inter do in the Champions League? So I was thinking about this. Like, I don't think people realize in our lifetime just how often we missed out on the Champions League during the banter era. Like, Icardi definitely could have been up there, but, you know, didn't have the opportunity.
And if you think about it, a lot of the big-name players at our club weren't there long enough to be able to put these kind of, like, you know, a big part of Lautaro's success has been his longevity with it. You know, like, Ronaldo had a short window, right? Vieri, Adriano, they didn't have deep runs to really.
Crespo,
I think he was only there 2 years for chance, and then he went, you know, to Chelsea and the Milan and bounced around before he came back. Whatever.
Milito
was only there, well, 2 years of Champions League, and yep. Then after that, it was no more, you know, for him. I mean, Eto was only there 2 years himself. You know, I'm trying to think. You know, Palacio never had a chance, never played in it. So,
no.
Yeah,
it's sad because we have such a history of amazing strikers, but as far as Champions League history, while we've been following, it's been some pretty underwhelming runs, and not qualifying for several years. All right, at FC Andre 1908, can you think of a better Inter goal this season than Lautaro's opener? Early goal of the season contender. Interesting.
Yeah, well, I mean, all of Barella's bangers.
Yeah, Barella against Lazio, for sure.
Barella against
Napoli.
Atalanta, you know, I mean.
Barella against Atalanta, yep.
I mean, yeah, there's. I like this one, but I don't think it's my favorite personally.
All those would have been better.
Yeah.
All right. That's the Q&A. And I just want to wrap up here with a little mercato check-in. So latest news. Fratesi, Piero gave an interview before the game saying Fratesi has not come to him. You know, saying that he's unhappy here. Inzaghi has said, I asked all of my players if anyone's unhappy and no one's responded negatively. Alcidio also made an interesting comment about Fratesi's agent, Es Simpatico, which is he's basically saying, you know, just looking out for Fratesi, which I thought was an interesting interesting dig there. But it doesn't look like Fratesi is going to make the move because it doesn't look like Roma is going to pony up the money. If he was to do it late stage in the window, there's no doubt in my mind that Inter would pay whatever fee it is to bring Sučić in now. So as far as I'm concerned, whether Fratesi is in or he leaves, I believe that position is going to be covered effectively. The next thing is Auxilio did mention Tejan and did say, we've been talking to him and we're trying to work to find a solution because it would be better for him to be playing and he has him getting many minutes, which I thought was super reasonable for the director to be saying and also for Tejan to want because he is the fifth choice wingback at the club right now.
Yeah.
So there's really two options that Inter can take. Tejan leaves and they bring in another wingback, which the name that is being spoken about is Zalewski. Or they bring in a central defender. For me, every day of the week, you find a central defender, even if it's a stopgap just for six months, just to get you over the hump. For me, that's what you do. How do you play this?
Yeah, if you loan him out, Tejan, I think you go center back personally. You see Acerbi is unreliable right now. We don't know what's going to happen with him, if anything. And you can't keep playing De Vrij like this. And I mean, I hope Palacio gets some type of minutes here. You know, like you got to build a little bit of faith in him. You can't tell me you have zero faith in him. You can't. I'm sorry. You know, I don't know if you saw the Monaco game this week. You know, Wilfred Tsengo looked pretty good as a third center back as well.
That's an investment, you know, we should have made a long time ago.
We should have made, yeah, a long time ago for sure. I'm sure now it would be, you know, cost us an arm and a leg, but that's something, you know, to maybe look into, because if he could play in a back three as well, you know, that's massively beneficial. Yeah,
he's more right center back, so it would kick Bissek inside, which I'd be totally fine with.
I would be totally fine with as well. I mean, yeah, we'll see what happens, man. Like, I don't think anyone really leaves. Maybe Buchanan goes out on loan, but I don't think anyone comes in unless it's, you know, another loan deal. And yeah, maybe Zalewski is that guy. I don't think that's an upgrade personally. I'm sure some Interisti who just hate Buchanan because he's Canadian and whatever other stupid reasons they want to have. It's the same thing with you know, Juventini who don't like McKennie, or, you know, people who don't like Pulisic. You know, it's like because of a stereotype of them being American or Canadian, you just automatically assume they're trash. That's I think that's kind of ridiculous. Was I disappointed with Buchanan's latest appearance? Absolutely. But that doesn't mean I don't see potential in him either. You know, like, I don't know the hate there, but whatever. Interisti are going to Interisti. So
I'm out on Zalewski. I haven't seen him even play, like, not even impressively. I haven't seen him play well since, like, Mourinho was there. I feel like every time I watch him, he's doing something that I'm like, oh my God, like, what are you doing? So
yeah, we might as well be tied to Karsdorp. You know, like, it's the same level of stupidity, in my opinion, but, you know.
I get the versatility. He can play both flanks, but I just don't see how he finds his way to minutes, more minutes.
He should have got Cambiasso when he was at Genoa.
Yeah.
You know, like.
Yeah. Well, what do you think is the best move for Tejan? The three teams that are most advanced for him are Roma, Torino, and Ajax.
I think from a development standpoint, it would be Ajax.
Yeah.
I think from probably an opportunity to play more, it would be Torino.
Mm-hmm. But I would say Ajax because Farioli is a great coach. They have they have an awesome young Italian coach. Not that Vanoli is not, but.
But I'd be more inclined to be excited about Ajax than anything, really. But I just don't know if he would even get the minutes that he's looking for there. You know.
Yeah. All right. I guess last question. Do you think Tejan should leave?
On loan or permanently?
Loan.
Yeah, six I think you should. I think you should. I think you should, you know, get some opportunity to play. I think that helps build confidence too. I think that would allow him to come back feeling good and feeling like he can challenge. I do like that he said that he, you know, he wants the challenge for a starting spot. I think that's a good mentality to have. You don't want guys who, you know, are shying away from that. And I don't think he's shying away from even this if he goes out on loan. But I think he knows that, like, hey, I'm coming back, you know, from a knee injury. I kind of need to play to see how I feel, to build up that, you know, muscle memory and stuff, and to feel like I'm confident in my own abilities to take on defenders. I need to play. It's difficult at Inter. You know, you have DiMarco and even Dumfries, who are, you know, probably the best in the world right now at their position, which I never thought I would say in my lifetime about Denzel Dumfries. But it's going to be hard to find, you know, space to carve out time for yourself in this Inter. So I think it would be best for his development for sure.
Same situation Fratesi's in, right? It's like, how do you, what can you show to earn a spot over Barella? It's not realistic. So yeah, we'll see how it shakes out. Next game coming up is away to Lecce, which is not an easy trip whatsoever. Hoping for a good performance. That's on Sunday at 12 Eastern. And
that's 9 a.m. Pacific time for my West Coast people.
9 a.m. Pacific. Anything else before we head out of here?
Looked into getting tickets for the Club World Cup. I think we kind of missed the window for like the early lottery thing, whatever you want to call it. But yeah, we got to try to find a way to make it happen, and at least one game. You know, if maybe I'll put a poll out on the, which I know I forgot to put a post about it, but I'll put a poll out, which, if any, Seattle game people would be interested in going to. And then from there, you know, try to see, you know, if you can comment on that post that, hey, you're interested, we could try to get something, you know, maybe started to see if we even have to go, if we have to go secondary market, you know, maybe we go that route. But I'm definitely, you know, I definitely want to get that at least one game in for that.
Yeah. Our first game, it looks like June 25th in Seattle.
I thought it was June 21st was the first one in Seattle.
Is it June 21st?
I think it's the 21st and then the 25th for the second game.
June 21st.
Oh, yeah, it is. At Lumen Field against Urawa. All right. Okie doke. Sorry for stirring up shit today. Apologies, Tony, Nima, you know I love you. Just,
I mean, you gotta slow down, bro. I don't know what's going on.
I'm just a little angry guy, man. All right, in the words of the great Roberto Scarpini, forza ragazzi, forza ragazzi, forza ragazzi.